I don't mind questions. Because I receive them quite a bit, and I'm going to share today with you a couple of questions that's come. But we have to realize that our questioning of the truth, or our questions that challenge the truth, come from the mind. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said a lot of words that reflect what we've been sharing. And sometimes when you hear these strange words, the mind can't comprehend it. Well, Miranda just said a verse just a second ago. He has meat to eat that you know not of. Well, what was he saying? You can't understand what I'm talking about with your mind. He said you have ears to hear but can't hear. You have eyes to see but can't see. This is exactly what he was talking about. It's something other than what we could ever understand. That's why sometimes when we hear these things, we say, what the hell is that? It doesn't make any sense because it can't be understood in this realm with the picture we've painted of what it should be or not be. And so then we don't understand. I said, well, what are we then? You know, because it sort of leaves you frustrated a little bit, you know, when you're stuck and your mind doesn't know what to do and it comes up with questions. But what you really are is oneness being itself. What you really are is unconditional love. It's expressing itself all the time. And when the mind quits giving its commentary on it, it starts to settle you down. And I'll give you a real good example of what happens when I go through stuff that gets very difficult. And every time we have meetings, at least 3 weeks, 2 weeks, sometimes a week before the meetings, things happen every time that are so intense mentally for me. Okay. And I'm telling you, it happened again here with the business, because they came in all of a sudden and said, Mike, you've drawn the maximum you can draw for the year.
It's just April.
Right. And the yeah. You can't draw any more money. Now, when a bank comes in and sort of takes over a company financially, they only limit the owners to what they can draw. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of times owners will come in and be dishonest, and if they think maybe they're going to go out of business, they'll start to just pull money out or assets out of the company. So I'm sure that's why. But it was pretty stressful because what we get every month, we almost spend that. So there wasn't like a lot of money sitting there for us to, we'd have to go into our retirement and pull money out of there, which you get whacked for that. And it's not like we're broke, but I'm just saying, well, guys, what's going on here? So anyways, we went back to the bank after about 3-4 weeks of torture, and we got him to change it around a little bit. But my point isn't to try to tell you a story. My point is that whenever something happens to you that seems unusual or hard, or when suffering's involved, what should you do? Be still. Nothing. They came to me and said, Mike, why aren't you upset? I know one guy that works for me, this young guy, said, I've never seen or been around anyone or been around a business owner that's so calm when shit's hitting the fan. But that's what this truth has done to me.
Yeah.
It just gets me quiet. And believe it or not, I receive more understanding in those times than I do any other time. And I'm not saying it was fun, but it just shuts me down. Mm-hmm. There's not much to do anyway. You get shut down. And so that's, I mean, I'm sure everybody goes through things, but complaining, bitching, carrying on about it doesn't help at all. It just makes the suffering more intense, right?
And the situation.
It's just a time to be still so that the meat that we know not of can be revealed to us. So that having the eyes to see, we can know that nothing's changing in this place of stillness. And so men are running to and fro across the earth, just upset about everything all the time. And I see it on Facebook, you know, we're complaining about the government and about the president and all these things. And I, folks, I'm just telling you, I don't do any of that stuff anymore. Why? Because nothing is ever out of order. And I know that, and it's settled within me. And when my mind and the concepts out there look like they're blowing up and it looks like stuff's out of order, it's time to shut the hell up. Mm-hmm. I love what Dana sent me. She says, oh, Mike, everybody will just love the messages. Everybody will say amen, and then they'll go back to exalting their God and bitching about something. And I hate to say, when I do go out and look on Facebook, it's a little discouraging to me that this hasn't settled in more. Because if nothing's ever out of order, then nothing ever changes, does it? Mm-hmm. Nothing's changing. We don't understand it's a fine line between setting in this microsecond and relaxing. We don't understand how that fence is so tiny and you can't straddle it. That if nothing's ever out of order, nothing's there to be complained about at any level. And if you catch yourself in that and start to realize that, it really brings a peace that's beyond our understanding. The eyes that can't see begin to open up. The ears that can't hear begin to listen. Instead of doing this all the time. It's just all useless noise. And this is the... I remember one night I had so much pain. It was so intense. I was almost up in a fetal position. And all night long, I was overwhelmed by truth. It just started downloading. It produced a stillness in me because I couldn't do nothing, but I could barely get comfortable in bed. It was so severe. And I was having kidney stone issues, which are not fun, okay? I mean, I had a huge kidney stone. And I literally thought I was going to die, you know? And what did I do? Diane was there with me. I didn't do anything. I just listened. And that's what that stuff can do for you, is it's just a call to listen. It's not a call to complain. It's not a call to blame somebody for something. It's just a call to listen. So, what you are is just oneness being itself. There are no individuals that are love. It's another title. It's something you have to do. You say, well, I'm love. Well, you got to live up to it then.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's your understanding of love that you got to live up to. Or maybe somebody else is barking at you, says you're not very loving. But you are the light with which everything arises. You are that source of light. I love what Trish has been putting on Facebook. She says, I'm made of stardust. I was formed by the stars. So if you pinned me down and held a gun to my head And I had to sum up reality and non-duality in less than 5 words, I'd say to you, there is no doer. No one is doing anything, including you. Now that doesn't make any sense to this thing between the ears. But you're not your own. No one's a doer. Everything that comes out of you every second, whether it appears right or wrong, is being formed and pushed out of you by unconditional love. Unconditional love is all there is. It's so vast that it's expressing itself all the time in everything. So that's why nothing's out of order. I just said the same thing just now. That unconditional love is always expressing itself. So today, as we're exploring awakening to the dream, the title today is called Unconditional Love. And just about everybody, at least in our circles, loves that word. But they love the word love, but they think unconditional love means I'm going to love you no matter what you do. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But unconditional love embraces both the positive and negative of what appears out here and says nothing's out of order. You hear about these terrible tragedies in people that leave us are being released from their bondage. It's mm-hmm. not a bad thing.
That's right.
Okay, we think it's such a terrible thing. But as we talked about Friday night and talking about the illusion of death, the first thing that overwhelms you when you leave this realm is there was a concept of death will totally disappear. That's what's going to overwhelm you. There'll be absolutely no memory of any thought you ever had about death in this realm. And all the thoughts have been wrong. There's just no such thing as death. It does not exist. And I remember what was the sisters down from Mississippi? Shonda and Miss Yu was her name? But anyways, one of them had posted a saying of Chief Seattle. And he said, there is no death, there's just a change of worlds. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to describe to you the world of reality, the changeless world of reality that everyone's going to see someday. But if we can begin to see that now and not have to wait till physical death, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
If you could live and experience that,
yes,
and realize whatever comes to you is for you, it's never against you. And when you realize there's no you, it all disappears. That's the perfection of it all. You can't screw it up. And no one trusts that with the mind. No one will ever trust it with the mind. Where everyone's at today is where they're supposed to be at. So my frustration and sadness about seeing all that out of there is just my problem, isn't it? But I have a desire and a longing to see people set free. I want them to enjoy what I'm experiencing. I want them to feel that peace that passes all understanding, where there isn't commentary on what's right or wrong with the world.
Laquita, that's her name.
Laquita?
Yeah.
So unconditional love is expressing itself all the time. You are not a doer. We were done sharing a couple meetings ago, and we were out eating up at the Steaks Eatery, and a couple people were yakking, and one of them said, well, you know we're creators. The other one said, yeah, we've got a free will. There isn't anything more wrong than those statements. There is no creator, and you aren't a creator. And what happens in this teaching is when people start to realize there's nothing but love and they still have a God, they call it God, and then they say, I'm God. And back to this area of wanting to control. There's nothing to control if everything's in order all the time. And you can sit there and just be a watcher of the spontaneous flow of love flowing out of you. I read you yesterday what Papaja said. It was beautiful. Just sit and watch as life unfolds on its own. Wow. Wouldn't that be relaxing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Life is just unfolding all by itself. Unconditional love is exploding in every microsecond all the time. It's just exploding. So you're sitting there thinking, well, nothing will get done, blah, 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 blah. That's laziness. And listen, your mind needs to be lazy so you can relax.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard to do. It doesn't mean you're not going to do anything, but if you can do it in a sense of timelessness, where there's never a hurry, where there's never urgency, maybe you could enjoy it.
Right.
You can just enjoy what you're doing. And there isn't a deadline anymore. I don't mean show up late for meetings anymore. Diane knows how to do that pretty well, so maybe she knows more than we do.
Show baby.
So unconditional love is expressing itself all the time in everything. So unconditional love could never be a being that's doing something. There isn't one thing out there doing something to another, because it's everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? That's why this God stuff is just ridiculous. That there's some guy who can watch everybody all the time, even when they fart. And hippie farted too many times. That's unholy. That's how ridiculous it is to think that stuff, that there's somebody watching you. Nobody's watching you except you. The only thing that's watching you is your judgmental mind. Yeah. Telling you, this isn't right or this isn't wrong. That's God. That's playing the role of God. And man, if I've ever learned something, I'll tell you what, when I first started reading Dean's posts, I mean, I just shit my pants. I just went, this stuff's crazy. But something in me knew it was true.
Yeah.
And again, you know what it did is it just made me quiet. And said, well, listen, I'm hearing a word I've never heard before. I'm hearing something I've never, ever heard. And so I want to know what it is. I'll sit there and fight it and bitch about it and complain about it. And it took me probably a year to get settled down where I really understood this man's language. And I mean, you want to talk about everything about Christianity is turned inside out with this guy. And I'm going to talk about that just in a little bit. So unconditional love can never be doing something, and it could not ever be a God that's doing something to anyone. That's why there's no such thing as God. It's such a puny example to think that there's one being who you think is watching you.
Yeah.
Oh, he's watching, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. Man, his computer would have to fry. If that's really what's going on, that he knows everything you're doing, and he's deciding whether it's right or wrong. And every 4 or 5 years, he'll zap you with something, you know. It really is insane, isn't it? It's insane. It's insane. So all of this God business, listen, if I could decree something, and I can't, but if I could decree something, I would say I would expunge the use. I would say everyone would need to be punished and tortured for using the word God. If I could, okay? If I could. That's how much it offends me. to hear that. Because if people are using the word God, even in their language, they still have a God. Mm-hmm. And they might even deny it. I read a post the other day where it was sort of talking about God and unconditional love, and it was just polluted. Because the people that believed in God thought, well, yeah, God's unconditional love. But there isn't a God out there that's unconditional love. Any God you have, who you would think is doing something, has to be a God of reward and punishment. Mm-hmm. It's a mental God. And if it's doing anything, then it's doing something because of something. Have to be.
Yeah.
That's got to be, it's good or bad. There isn't any other way around it. And I'm telling you, there's all that stuff needs to be expunged. I'd be like Yul Brynner on the Ten Commandments and get up and say, God's name needs to be expunged from every obelisk and book and statue in the country. And no one's ever to speak the name anymore. Well, he said it about Moses. But I would say it about God. Don't ever say that word again around me. Now, that's me talking, okay? But I'm just trying to give you an example of how ridiculous it is. If you talk about God, you've got a concept of a God. Or why would you be talking about it? It shouldn't be in any sentence at any time about anything. And I'm hoping 10 years from now it disappears from the face of the earth. The use of it in any form. Because you don't realize how much judgment and condemnation and sense of a black cloud following you around it creates.
Yeah.
We're so ignorant about it, we don't realize that. If something's watching you, well, what the hell's it doing? Why would it need to be watching you? And if it is, and it's supposed to be doing something, I'm telling you what, it's failing. Okay? It's absolutely failing. People are so worried about the starving children in Africa. More food, there's more people starving in America than there are in Africa. I'm telling you right now. There's more food been dropped out there. The governments are so corrupt and everything. It gets scooped up and sold and it doesn't go where it's supposed to. And it's ridiculous. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be helped. But I mean, if you're so worried about that, get your ass in a plane and go over there and devote yourself to planting crops to feed them. And quit complaining about it. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your world, then go to it. Don't make it my world. Anyway, I got off on a tirade there, sorry. It's hard to expunge God. He's an ornery character. He doesn't want to die. But unconditional love, if it's everything all the time and it's never not that, there isn't anything to control. There's nothing you need to do. Whatever you need to do will be done. I mean, if you've got a mortgage or you've got a car and you've got a payment on it or something, you're going to go to work if you want to keep it. If you don't go to work, you'll lose it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
There's no God involved in any of that.
Right.
That's just you. You want to be homeless, you know, broke, selling pencils on the corner? Why, quit paying your bills. Robert's been homeless.
Homeless. Some freedom in that too.
Yeah.
I know that beautiful.
Exactly. But listen, think about, there's trillions of cells just in your body that are intelligent. Trillion, just in your body. And then you go out to the vastness of the universe. There's billions, not of planets, there's billions of galaxies that all have thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of planets in them. They can't be counted. And you think there's some guy at a computer that's keeping an eye on all that stuff?
Well, he did.
Listen, I'm not there's an energy out there that's holding all this together, but it's not any kind of a concept of a puny little ass God. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's everything. And so it can't be controlled, and it doesn't need to be controlled. Relax. Enjoy yourself. And realize all your problems that you have, whatever level they are, come from your own mind. Come from your own concepts of yourself and what you've been told. All of them. And most of it hasn't been true. So, unconditional love is expressing itself down to the tiniest atom and out to the largest universe. All the time, every microsecond, explosion. Explosion of unconditional love all the time. It's doing this outside of a concept of passing time or space. Doing it outside what appears to us. So you see, there's not enough time to even process the thought that something could be done. By the time somebody's thinking about doing something, it's gone already. That's how fast everything's moving, faster than the speed of light. Mm-hmm. How could you contemplate that and decide to do something about it? It's that vast. It's that wonderful. It's that big. That's big. Way too big for a god. I'm telling you right now, it'd take a pool of gods. And I don't think they could keep up with what we're talking about. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's relaxing to realize there's no control that needs to be had. There's no responsibility that needs to be taken on. So there's no such thing as free will. Why? Because there's no you. Whew. I'm telling you what, the biggest relief I ever got is when I found out there was no me. It's just like sitting on one of those whoopee cushions, you know. Wow, what a relief. Like having the biggest dump you've ever had in your life. It feels good. You know that feeling? Say, wow, that was really good. It cleans you out. You don't feel bloated. Huh? Debloats you from all the bullshit. So unconditional love only flows out of timelessness and nowhere else. So in timelessness is the source of everything. So there's not time to take thought about your life, about what you're going to put on. Oh, Jesus said that, didn't he? Take no thought. There isn't time for it. In practice, most individuals understand what love is. In their own way, through a variety of experiences, love for a partner, or nature, or friends, or a child, or a pet, or a craft. There's a long list of what love is. But unconditional love can't be understood by the mind. Because it embraces everything, both the positive and the negative, and the mind can't handle it. So don't try. When thoughts come of wanting to control and complain and bitch and say what's wrong with things, it's time to be still and shut up. And when I say shut the hell up, you can take it two ways. Just be quiet, and it's hell that's trying to speak. So shut it off. There's no point. So unconditional love is way beyond the feeling of love. It's not an emotion. Okay? It's untouched by feelings or conditions. Are you getting in the groove of this? You understanding? Can you feel it? Huh? Everything's happening all the time. Everything's full. Everything's complete already. Everything's flowing in this completeness and this fullness every second. It can't be controlled. It's too big. Doesn't need to be controlled. Everything's in order. No matter what appears into you. And when you understand there's no you, you don't have to take things personally anymore. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why do I have a life like I have? The nature of reality, the nature of this fullness, is unconditional love. Liberation is simply seeing that there's no person, and that everything arises from that which cannot be described. We don't need to try to describe it. It's a feeling. I'm telling you, it's an energy. It's a feeling of peace, that nothing's out of order. And it doesn't need commentary. It doesn't need to be spoken about. It just needs to be realized and felt. So the problem for the mind with the phrase unconditional love is not the word love, it's the unconditionality about love that's the problem. So that doesn't sound like love. We want to divide reality into this or that. We want to divide it into what we think is approved of or disapproved of. Well, that's the same thing as eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We approve of this, we disapprove of that. The mind will always exclude something from its approval. And it can only ever experience conditional love, not unconditional love. Remember a gal that works for us that she just went through a divorce. She's got two lovely daughters. And they're sort of pissed off at her for divorcing their dad. They're college age. They had a nice family. I know them all very well. We've known them for years. And I really like the dad, but the mom finally sort of had it. She's a go-getter, and he liked to sit home and smoke a doobie and drink a can of beer every night. And that wasn't her idea of living. So she said, "Yeah, I'm divorcing your ass." And the girls didn't like it. Well, she came in last Thanksgiving, was all upset that one of her daughters had never even called her or said Happy Thanksgiving. You know, and they feel detached and stuff. Well, that's conditional love, isn't it?
Yeah.
She got upset. Unconditional love doesn't take it personally because there's no person for it to take. Whew, I love that. Isn't that exciting? We're still here. I'm causing you to disappear, but you haven't left. Now that's pretty. That's magic, isn't it? That's a real miracle, huh? That's the magic of unconditional love. It produces a place of peace. So liberation is simply seeing there's no you to screw things up. I want to say another word besides screw, but I won't. Huh? You know what I mean? Yeah? It's a four-letter word. So I'll use a five-letter word so I don't offend the religious people that are listening. Because I get notes about once a month, you know, why do you cuss? Why do you cuss so much? I said, I don't know. So the problem for the mind is the word unconditionality. That just isn't anything. That's a meat that you don't add up. That's something that can't be seen with the eyes or heard with the ears. So everything that we call natural is twisted, isn't reality. So to me, the terms unconditional love, oneness, non-separation, non-duality, being, and consciousness are all synonymous. So that gives you an idea of what unconditional love is. It's who you are. And it's expressing itself as you.
Yeah.
And you, the person you think you are, has nothing to do with it. And you can't do anything about it. You didn't even decide what you look like, who your parents were. We sort of forgot all those things. You have no control over anything. So give it up and relax. Take a break. Let out a great big fart. Say, whew, boy, I'm glad that's over with. Huh? You have no control over anything. Ever. This is her daughter, Maharaji, in this one of his best books, and I've told everybody you should read it. It's called I Am That. And he should have titled it, said I Am Nothing. But he said, seeing I am nothing is wisdom. Seeing I am everything is love.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're everything, there's nothing to control. One with the universe. You are the universe. All inside you. Nothing's disconnected anywhere. So then someone, of course we're going along, sort of toasting Christianity pretty good. Someone said to me, Mike, what do you think about Christianity? It's a myth. It's just a story that we've been taught and believed for a long time, even though we have a huge amount of evidence that it isn't true. We still believe some of it's true. There isn't one thing that I ever knew in Christianity that I find true today. Not one thing about it. I mean, if I had my choice between Islam and Christianity, I, as a man, would choose to be Islam. At least when you die, you get 12 virgins fan at you on a couch, you know.
Bad show.
Huh? I mean, why wouldn't I like that?
Goofy.
Sorry.
Goofy.
Sorry, Robert. We'll let yours be 12 guys. Okay. Virgins.
Virgins. It didn't say guy or girl.
I want somebody with some experience.
In the world of unconditional love, there are no religions.
Oh, yeah.
Christianity is a religion.
Yeah.
There's nothing true about it. I mean, if I sit down in a meeting and the first thing people do is crack open the Bible and start quoting verse after verse, I would run. Now, we happen to have a guy here that knows how to use it the right way. But I've never heard anybody use it like you, Robert. So we'll give you a break, okay?
I appreciate it.
And I think it's a great gift that he could use to help Christians come out of it. Because
yeah.
He could go through there and tell you all the bullshit that's in there.
I'm glad I learned it. There's one last of years.
Well, I got probably 10 Bibles I've wore out. I know what it says. And listen, I'm not condemning the Bible. I'm saying it's a bunch of stories with men who had a God.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it, but it isn't anything special. Okay? It's not holy. It needs to be worshipped. And if you want to say it's the word of your God, go ahead. I have no problem with it. It just shows me how much more bullshit you're stuck in.
Yeah.
Because if there's no God, go ahead. How's that? Why is that going to hurt me?
And that's good. It can be the word of God because there isn't one.
Exactly.
So who cares?
I'll let it happen.
New perspective.
I don't know anything. I remember saying years ago that what we've been understanding and learning is everything's been turned inside out.
Yeah.
It's like I had a coat on. I turned it all inside out, and there was the truth. Crazy. Absolutely crazy to me. So there are no religions. There's no room for any myths about a God that is doing this or that. You might as well just go back and read some Greek mythology and study all the gods and their writings, you know, in my opinion. There isn't any difference. Because it's always talking about Zeus and Troy and all those gods, and one of them's the god of wind, and one of them's the god of storms, and one of them's the god of lightning. And I love all that stuff. You know,
Prometheus.
Yeah,
there's truth in it. You can find truth in it.
Yeah, you find truth in anything.
Anything.
God is a mental invention that lives in the darkness of ignorance, Dean says.
Yeah.
A mental invention that lives in the darkness of ignorance. I like Dino. I love you, Dino. Thank you for your wisdom. Now, when I started reading some of this shit on his Facebook wall, I just about shit my pants. I'm telling you, go there. If you're on Facebook, go in there. There's this one guy who's barking, you know, he's written 5 books, you know, and he thinks he's got the answers for everything. And then he says he's humble and all this stuff. There ain't anybody that's written 5 books that's humble. I'm just telling you right now. Okay. And he'd been pushing me and asking me to go read his books and write reviews. And I knew it was bullshit. I didn't want to do it. And I'm not trying to judge the guy, but finally he kept tagging me, you know, for months. Finally I said, listen, here's my script. Go read Dean for 30 days and click like on everything he posts and call me in the morning. I don't want to hear back from you until you've done that. Because everything he had in there was biased and talking about a God and talking about doing this and doing that. And it's just all bullshit. It's just another religion at a higher level. And we don't need any more of that. We need to be set free from ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the purity about this absolute truth. You and your mind is the only thing that's creating problems in your life. That's it. That's all. You're the only problem. And guess what? When there's no you, you're released from it all. When you start to realize it. When you start to realize this stuff, I'll tell you what happens. You just get quiet and start listening. You can start to hear. It's beautiful.
Peace.
So, I posted a couple days ago. I said, nothing is ever out of order. Ever. What appears to us is only a mirage of the ancient belief systems of good and evil. Nothing has a meaning or purpose. Stuff could be hard to swallow. Nothing has a meaning or purpose. Because everything is complete within itself. So it doesn't have to have a specific meaning or a specific purpose. It's complete. It's whole. Everything that approaches you every day is wholeness, is unconditional love, it's fullness. It's everything all the time. And it's always right. It's never wrong. Everything. And if we can get our judgmental mind out of the way, we won't be worrying and fussing and carrying on and be whining and crying and blah, blah, blah. And question after question after question. If you've got questions, this one gal, I was counseling her she's got a lot of problems with her husband. And she just, one question after another. And I think one time then she sent me five or six all at once, and I didn't answer. I think we're getting ready for the meetings, and I didn't have time. I wrote her back, and I said, well, what's going on? I said, do we still need to talk about your question? She says, no, they got answered all on their own. So either they get answered themselves, or they disappear, is what happens. And so again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with questions, but it's just coming out from challenging what we're talking about here. Everything's complete. Everything's whole. Everything's full. And it's all right now. It's not going anywhere. All there is this. Right now, it's this. So you never made any choices, and you will never make any choices. Everything's flowing out of this unconditional love, and it's the doer. You're not the doer. You little puny with your little brain isn't the doer. It's the doer. It's expressing itself through you all the time, whether it appears right or wrong. So guess what? You can forgive yourself. And you can do it once and for all and bury that son of a bitch. Say, it's over for you. I'm not listening to your mind and your brain torment me anymore. That's where all the torment and torture comes from. Now, thinking you never made any choices and you're never going to make any choices, there's no mind in the world that agrees with that statement. Not one mind. Even to my own mind, it sounds strange. Because when I look at the appearances, I mean, I'm going to go get in my car and go smoke a cigar later this afternoon because I do it every day. But to think that I'm doing it on my own is asinine when there's trillions of cells in my body all talking to each other. It's just asinine. But somehow, my thoughts are holding this together. Somebody was bitching about smoking cigars, you know. I thought George Burns, what, he lived to be 109?
Yeah.
He probably made it to 150 if he didn't smoke cigars, right? So it's not possible that no one's making decisions. It's not possible to know that until the self is seen through and you realize that it's not you. There's not a you. See, that's why no one's making decisions. That's why there's no such thing as free will. That's why there's no such thing as responsibility. Because there isn't a you that could be responsible anyway. You tried it. It didn't work. I was about as irresponsible as you could be growing up. And that never changed much in my adult life. So I got an F in trying to be responsible. So I was so glad to find out I wasn't responsible anymore. It forgave me of all the torment in my mind for years. It forgave me. Isn't that something? All of a sudden I realized I was forgiven of myself. Wow, what a relief. You are perfect. You've never not been perfect, ever. And the reason there is because it's not you. That's perfection. That's what creates perfection. There's no one to blame anymore. There's no one to tag it on anymore. Huh? Where you're at today with Robbie Joe and the things you're doing, couldn't be more perfect. Now, you've been tormented your whole life about it, but now it's time to know there's nothing out of order. Huh?
Peace.
And some chickens and a couple ponies along with the peace, right? The dog, cat,
ranching. Yeah,
got a Peace Farm down there.
Peace Farm, that's right.
I don't give a damn what God thinks about it. Because there is a one.
So now, here's the challenge. How do we see through the idea that there's no self? Huh? Well, I can sort of prove it to you logically, you know, that it's sort of insane to think that somehow you're controlling what's going on. I can sit down and argue with you at a common sense level and sort of say this is insanity. Yeah. But the mind is synonymous with the idea that you're a separate person. See, it's the mind that's created the concept of you to begin with. It comes from the mind and its conclusions. You were given a name. You were supposed to stand up for yourself and self-esteem and all that bullshit your whole life. And when you finally get relieved of yourself, it's pure freedom and it's absolute truth. You say, wait, I'm still here. There's no self, but I'm still here. Wow. Well, that's unconditional love expressing itself. And when you realize that's the pure energy of what you are, there isn't anything in the seeing of this that ever wants to harm anything. People think that means you can just do whatever you want. Well, I already did that. I already did whatever I wanted. It didn't work. No, thank you. So, I want to say something else to you that's hard, but I want you to really listen to this. When all this is seen, we realize that there are thoughts, but there's no thinker. That there are actions, but there's no doer. This is really when you start to understand this guilt and responsibility fall away. Because responsibility is what produces guilt.
That's good.
So, it comes down to the idea and the realization that life is living me rather than the other way around. Huh? Life is living you. It's not you living life. Unconditional love is living you. Unconditional love is expressing you all the time. And when that starts to hit you, it just quiets you down. It just slows everything down. So it's all about seeing that life is living you rather than the other way around. That's what's going on. It's beautiful. Unconditional life and love is living you. You're not the doer. You're not the thinker. That all comes from the mind. Enlightenment consists of precisely the direct seeing that there's no person. So there can't be any enlightened people. Huh? Pure enlightenment means there's nobody left that needs to be enlightened. That's the end game, folks.
Doesn't have to be, I don't think. I think that can be the death before.
Well, that's exactly the same thing.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yep. So, there's no chance that you were ever whole or ever will be. We are not whole. There's only wholeness expressing itself all the time. You can let go of that burden. You don't need to be more pure. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be more enlightened. There's no path. There's no journey. It all disappears now. When you disappear, all of the burden of all that disappears with it. And you're complete. And you can continue to bitch and complain about what's going on in your world, but you're there alone. You can continue to complain about it. You can start to be still and let this reality begin to express itself through you and realizing it's true. And listen to this stuff over and over again. If it puzzles you, if it confuses you, listen to it again. But there can't be any more pure message to teach than for me to tell you there's no you anymore that needs to do anything. That's the end game. It's perfection. And it's amazing how life will go on without you.
Yeah.
Huh? It's amazing. It's still going to go on. And now you're going to be an observer and an experiencer and a lover and an enjoyer. And because there's nothing more to control. Wow. Huge burden gets lifted off you now. Huge burden, poof, is gone. So we've been on a path, self-awareness, trying to get better, doing stuff, and we realize at the end there's nothing that needs to get better. Thank you so much, everybody.